So we are in the 32nd chapter of the third canto. This is the last chapter of Kapila Dev's instructions to his mother Devahuti. So yesterday we saw Kapila Dev spoke, just summarizing the various paths that he had spoken about. He spoke about Sakama Karma and how the destination of Sakama Karma is Swarga, and then Shine Punye Marte Lokam Vishanti, and so on. And he also spoke about the path of Nishkama Karma Yoga, how that transforms into Jnana Yoga and eventually it leads to liberation. Then he spoke about two different kinds of practitioners of Virat Roop meditation, how those who have a sense of bhakti towards the Supreme Lord while meditating on the Virat Purusha, they achieve Krama Mukti, gradual liberation. Whereas those who do not have that sense of devotion towards the Lord, they stay within the body of Mahavishnu and then they come back and take birth again. And this includes Brahmaji also. Even Brahmaji is not spared if he does not have a sense of devotion towards the Supreme Lord. It's just a post. So the person keeps changing, so their inclinations also might change. So then he spoke about how by practice of bhakti alone you can achieve the results of all the other practices, because that one, it is the same Bhagavan who is worshipped by the other practitioners as Brahman or Paramatma. In fact, since the Bhagavan feature is the complete understanding of the absolute truth, therefore the path of bhakti which worships this Bhagavan feature, by that bhakti one can achieve the goals of the other practices also. We saw bhakti is like the superset, and the path of jnana, ashtanga, karma, etc., they are like subsets. So this is where we ended yesterday. So today we will start the discussion. So hopefully before the break, if we can complete this chapter, let's see. Then post break we can complete the last chapter. So now in this section, Kapila Dev will speak about the path of jnana very briefly, summarizing what he has already spoken about. So here in this verse he is going to speak about the understanding of an actual a person who is steeped in the path of jnana. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as it is discussed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about Vivartavad and Shakti Parinamavad. The understanding between the, what is the understanding of this, of the absolute truth and the on this material world according to the Mayavadis and according to the Vaishnavas. So the Vivartavad is the understanding of the Mayavadis, and the Shakti Parinamavad is the understanding of the Vaishnavas, or at least Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So now in one verse he gives a glimpse of the Mayavadi understanding of Brahman, and also the Acharyas give the Vaishnava understanding also. So very interesting verse and very convincing verse also. So he says, Jnanamekam parachinair indriyair brahma nirgunam avabhatyartha rupena bhrantya shabdadi dharmina. He says, Ekam Brahma, that one Brahman, Jnanam, which is pure consciousness alone, without any material varieties, or without any varieties as they call, because according to the Mayavadis, varieties means material varieties. So that one Brahman which is consciousness alone, nirgunam, having no qualities, Brantya avabhati. Only out of error that Brahman appears. Parachinair indriyair, through materially directed senses and because of an error of perception, artharupena. Brahman actually has no qualities, no forms, but only because of materially directed senses does Brahman seems to take some qualities and varieties as we perceive it here in this world. Shabdadi dharmina, with the qualities such as sound. So there is an element of truth to their proposal. We will see. But where they make a mistake, as the Vaishnavacharyas point out, that will also we see. That also we will see. So the Mayavadis are not necessarily cheaters. They are not trying to cheat anyone or anything like that. But just that, you know, because of not having come in touch with the devotees, you know, they tend to have this inappropriate understanding, which is natural, because whatever varieties they have seen is all material. So therefore, they are forced to conclude that, you know, the absolute truth cannot be matter. They are right there. But because they are not, they don't have the right mindset, the right, you can say, not mindset, you can say faith set, if there is a word like that. They don't have the right faith to even consider that there could be varieties in the spiritual world. So therefore, they just stop short of making the leap into the other side of the Brahman or the absolute truth, where there could be a wide variety of spiritual variety, which even we have not experienced till now. But the advantage is that we have been fortunate enough to come in touch with Prabhupada, his books, the devotees who have taken shelter of his teachings and books, they have come in touch, we have come in touch with them in our lives, and we are willing to accept that there could be some spiritual variety, even though we have not experienced it also. So that's the only difference. Otherwise, their proposal that they are going to put forth now, it's a very proper proposal, actually, in one sense, if you see. So they are telling, Brahman is one, sarvam kalvidam brahma, nehananasti kinchana, nothing else exists, only Brahman. We all agree with that. He says that his proposal is, let's say someone is born blind, not that he lost his eyesight sometime when he was like 10 years old or 20 years old, but born blind. Let's say someone is born blind. There are people like that. Okay. So if you tell them that, this is white in color, this is black in color, can they understand? There is no knowledge of distinctions there with respect to anything that is perceivable only by eyes. Isn't it? There is no knowledge of distinctions. There is no variety with respect to vision. For them, everything is same. Whether it is black, blue, red, yellow, anything is same for them. Right or wrong? Let's say, if that person is born deaf also. Okay? So, then, for him, is there any variety with respect to sound? Mellow or shrill or sweet or cacophonous or whatever it may be. Or language. So, are they speaking in Marathi or Hindi or whatever it may be. There is no variety with respect to sound. Right? Now, let's say if that same person is born with without any ability to experience the sense of touch also. So then, you know, he cannot, there is no variety with respect to whether it is rough or smooth or hot or cold. None of these touch sensations he can experience. For him, there is no variety with respect to the sense of touch. Correct? And so on. You know, there is tongue. And if he is born without any sense of tasting also, then for him also everything tastes the same. Right? There is no variety with respect to the sense of taste. So, like that, if that person is born without any of these senses, in one sense there is absolutely no variety in this material world for him. Correct or not? He cannot perceive it. Now, the proposal is, who provides the senses to the living entities? Who provides? Maya Devi. Material nature provides. So, it's only because of receiving senses which are material, provided by Maya, that is why a living entity is seeing some varieties. So in the absence of that material senses provided by the illusory energy of the Lord, there is no variety. So actually there is no variety in Brahman. Only because the material energy provides the material senses, therefore out of illusion, because it's that's her job to create illusion. So when the illusory energy provides the material senses, only out of illusion does a living entity see variety. Actually in Brahman there is no variety. This is their proposal. Sounds quite logical, isn't it? So it's in the absence, so we can also see there might be, it might be extremely rare to see a person who is born without any of these senses, but at least, you know, there are people who are born blind. You can ask them, can you identify white or blue or black? For them, it makes no sense. Actually, there is no variety with respect to colors for them. Some are color blind also. So, but I don't know. Color blind people, probably they can't see particular colors. I'm not sure. Matlab, you can't see any color? Between any color? Some colors. Some colors they cannot distinguish. So that kind of thing is there. For them, you know, let's say green and red, as Prabhuji said, we can see a distinction, but he can't, for him green and red looks the same probably. Something like that. So they say that illusory energy has provided the senses. Only because you have got senses provided by the illusory energy, a variety is seen in Brahman. Otherwise Brahman is nirguna, and it is supported by the Shastras. So this is their proposal. But the Vaishnavas say, no, it's not like that. If someone hands me over a green glass and I wear that green glass, I look everywhere. Prabhuji's dhoti kurta looks green, and this bottle looks green. This mic looks green, probably not, this might still look little greenish red, but let's say if everything looks green, it's that kind of a glass. So I say that, why am I seeing everything green? Because I am wearing a green glass. So therefore, when I remove this green glass, there is nothing there. Is that an intelligent proposition? No. It's not an intelligent proposition. So all I can conclude is that the moment I remove that green glass, I may not perceive everything green. My perception might be different. That much I can conclude. But I cannot conclude that the moment I remove my green glass, there is nothing existing at all. That is not a very reasonable proposal. That's what the Vaishnavacharyas say. So now we will read the purport given by Srila Vishnachakadi Thakur and Prabhupada, and it will become quite clear. So Srila Vishnachakadi Thakur says, I have a desire to perform bhakti, and I have heard about it and understood it. And I am curious about jnana and yoga. I was curious about jnana and yoga, and I have heard about jnana and yoga also and understood them. But in jnana, I have not understood completely about non-dual knowledge, advaya jnana. Please explain them briefly. Thus, Kapiladev speaks about the jnana as approved by the Vivartavadis. Vivartavadis are Mayavadis. And he will give the Vaishnava explanation to that also. Because the Vivartavadis are not creating anything. Whatever they are presenting is their understanding of Shastras only. There is nothing that is out of Shastras. They are presenting the Shastras and their understanding of the Shastras. Vaishnavas say, no, this is a better understanding of the same verses, like that. What is called as one knowledge, Ekam Brahma or Brahman, falsely appears by the error of Jiva to be objects endowed with qualities. By the senses which are turned towards material enjoyment. Only because Mayadevi has given us senses which are geared towards sense enjoyment, therefore we are observing objects, observing varieties in objects, because of our desire to enjoy things of this world. Thus the jiva thinks, this food is tasty, this woman is beautiful. But in the absence of senses, because of the absence of knowledge of distinctions, only Brahman exists. Then our question is, then do you mean to say that there is complete falsity in the objects perceived through error? If I say, oh, this is an erroneous perception, agreed. Till there we also agree. There is an error in perception. But error in perception does not mean there is nothing to be perceived. Error in perception means that there is an error in perception, that's all. You can't conclude anything beyond that. Error in perception need not mean that there is nothing to be perceived. That's what is the proposal of the Vaishnavacharyas. You are right when you state that there is an error in perception, that we also accept. But that need not mean that there is nothing to be perceived. That is wrong. Which means, maybe the variety as we see here, is not the way the variety exists. That is fine. But that does not mean that there is no variety to be perceived at all. That's stretching it little too far. One sees forms by the eye. The eye is the sense. The person is the doer. And the knowledge has form as its object. So the object of knowledge for the eye is form. The object of knowledge for the ear is sound. The object of knowledge for skin is touch, and so on. There is merely experience of variety in Brahman, which is actually consciousness alone. That's what they say. The different elements of knowledge characterized by the doer, the sense, and the action are all created by Maya. The sense object is created by Maya. The sense is created by Maya. Everything is created by Maya. One should understand, but we say, that is all true. It is created by Maya, but it is not false. So So he says that the jiva created ignorance, which is a function of Brahman, which errs from his natural knowledge and develops infinite types of knowledge because of distinguishing the doer, the sense and the action. There is the manifestation of error in the jiva because of the various types of knowledge, the various objects. So he says that only because of this creation of senses by Maya, therefore variety is seen. Otherwise there is no variety. Everything is homogeneously one. That is their proposal. Everything is homogeneously one. So Vaishnava says, though pure Ganga water exists, cows and donkeys have an illusion of its existence in water troughs because of their thirst. So there may be some water troughs, and from a distance cows and donkeys, they may perceive that there is some water there, and they may go and see there is no water, so therefore they may conclude that there is nothing called Ganga water. The problem is they are looking at the wrong place. So that's the problem. Because of distinction of the senses, when they are turned towards Krishna, the only problem is they don't turn towards Krishna because of non-availability, or because of not having had the opportunity of meeting a devotee. Therefore, they don't turn towards Krishna. Only if they had turned towards Krishna, they would have understood spiritual variety. One can appreciate the sweet sound of the flute and the beauty of its form, beauty of his form. Thus, knowledge of distinctions in spiritual objects is not rejected. The devotees speak in the above way in relation to the Brahman feature of the Lord. Okay, this is the understanding. Only if you turn towards Krishna, then you would start seeing spiritual varieties. This was Dhruva Maharaj's first realization when he was touched by the conch shell of Vishnu. So that's what he says in his first prayer. Yonta pravishya mama vacham imam prasuptam sanjeevayati akila shakti daraha swadhamna anyamscha hasta shravana charana twagadin pranan namo bhagavate purushayatubhyam. He says, my dear Lord, now that you have removed the veil, now I realize that my senses have been sleeping. My senses were not functional at all. In the sense, they were responding to the wrong stimulus. Now that you have touched me and purified me, now I am able to respond to the spiritual stimulus. Now I am seeing, I am no longer seeing material variety. I am seeing only spiritual variety. So I am able to experience the fragrance of Tulsi that has been offered to your lotus feet. I am able to see your beautiful form. And then what? It's not that he stops seeing matter around him, but his vision changes. He no longer sees it as an object of his own enjoyment, but he sees it in relationship with the Supreme Lord. So therefore, when the wheel of Maya is removed, when the senses have been spiritualized, it's not that a person stops seeing any material variety at all. He sees variety, but for him it's not material variety. It is spiritual variety. Stavara jangama deki na deki tara murti. Sarvatra hoi nija ishta deva spurti. He sees anything and it inspires him to it reminds him and it inspires him towards his Supreme Personality of Godhead, towards his worshipable Lord. Like that. So that's what is the explanation. That's what is their proposal. And the Vaishnavas make a slight modification in their proposal. Say, till here you are right. Your proposal is right. But just because a cow and donkey cannot find Ganga water in a trough which it had imagined does not necessarily mean that there is no Ganga water at all. That's a false proposal. They say, now that you have come in touch with me, turn this way. And they start seeing spiritual variety there. Then they accept, oh, right. You know, our understanding is not complete. Actually, there is spiritual variety. Now we are able to see it like that. So, this just reminds me, you know, we all have heard this story from Vishwanatha Sadhanath Swami Maharaj. You know, he speaks about how when Ramanujacharya meets Dhanurdhar. So, they are walking on the banks of Kaveri. Ramanujacharya along with Kuresh and Dasharati, they are taking bath. And Dhanurdas is, and the procession of Lord Ranganath is going on. And here is Dhanurdas, you know, following that prostitute. He is in fact laying down carpet in front of her so that she could walk on the sands because the sand was little hot. So he was laying the carpet so that she could walk. And then he was looking at her eyes. And Ramanujacharya sends Dasharati and he says, please call him here. So he was calling, but pashyanapi na pashyati, you know. Chitta vritti nirodha. You know, the chitta was not registering. Sometimes it happens during material absorption also. You know, you are so absorbed in something, something passes by, your senses register, but it stops there. It never, your eyes see, but chitta does not register. It goes in front of your eyeballs. But the chitta which has to register, the chitta doesn't become aware. The chitta has to become aware, then it, you know, triggers of the intelligence. Intelligence tries to find out what that sense object is. And then it triggers the mind. Oh, is that sense object palatable or not palatable? And then the false ego is triggered. So, all of that doesn't happen because the chitta is not registering only. Because the chitta is absorbed elsewhere. Sometimes it happens with material absorption also. So here is Dasharati coming and calling, Dhanurdas, Dhanurdas. And it's not that the sound is not entering his ears, but then it stops there. The chitta is not registering anything, no awareness. And then he starts moving his hand in front of his eyes. Now that the vision of the eyes of that lady is obstructed, now he is coming back to senses. And then he sees Dasharati, a very respectable Vaishnava, and he pays his obeisance and he says, yes, what can I do for you? And he says, Ramanujacharya is calling you. So he goes there and then he says, you know, what are you doing? Don't you see people are criticizing you so much? The procession of Lord Ranganath is going. What are you doing here? It's such an embarrassing thing. Huh? I'm feeling embarrassed seeing you doing this. So he says, what can I do? That was the simplicity of Dhanurdas. What can I do? I have not seen anything in this world that is more beautiful than her eyes. Then Ramanujacharya says, oh, that's it. What if I show you eyes which are more beautiful than this? He said, I don't think it's possible. He says, if I show you, and he said, okay, then I will accept that and leave this. He says, okay, come with me. So he takes them to the Sanctum Sanctorum of Lord Ranganath and he prays to Lord Ranganath. He says, don't show them the same form that you show to ordinary people. Show that eyes that I am seeing. So we are seeing some variety, but that is not the, so we may see that, oh, what is this? Everything is black. At least ISKCON deities have some, variety. They are standing and, there is, every day there is some variety in the way the pagadi is bound. Sometimes there are flowers, sometimes there are, there is so much variety. But here, every day, same white colored dhoti and same, there is not even some painting. At least if black deities are there in ISKCON, we paint. Here they are not painted also. So Ramanujacharya said, don't show that same eye that you show to everyone else. Show that eye that I am seeing. So Lord Ranganath obliged. And Dhanurdas actually saw that spiritual variety. He was given access to see that spiritual variety and he was shocked. That something, it's not that Dhanurdas would have never come to Ranganath temple living in Srirangam. At least before coming in touch with this lady, definitely at least once in a while he would have visited and taken darshan of Ranganath. He was also a pious person only. But now when Ramanujacharya showed those eyes of Lord Ranganath, he was completely captivated. He was seeing, actually, he was given access to spiritual variety. So then he completely surrendered to the lotus feet of Ramanujacharya. So like that. So when someone comes in touch with a devotee and the devotee turns his face towards Krishna, and when the right kind of purification happens, after that, one starts responding to spiritual stimulus. So then one can hear the sweet sound of Krishna, his flute. One can see his form, and actually after seeing which, none of the material forms look tasteful at all. But it takes time. Over a period of time it happens. So that's what here the acharyas are also explaining. Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, is one, and he is spread everywhere by his impersonal feature. This is clearly expressed in Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna says, everything that is experienced is but an expansion of my energy. Which verse is Prabhupada quoting? Atava bahunaitena kim gyatena tava arjuna vishtabhyahamidam krishnam ekam shena stito jagat. Everything is sustained by him, but that does not mean that he is in everything. Sense perceptions, carefully listen, very beautiful purport Prabhupada has written here. Sense perceptions such as oral reception of the sound of a drum, visual perception of a beautiful woman, or perception of the delicious taste of a milk preparation by the tongue, all come through different senses and are therefore differently understood. Therefore, sensory knowledge is divided in different categories, although actually everything is one as a manifestation of the energy of the Supreme Lord. Just that it is one object only, but the eye is perceiving it as white, the tongue is perceiving it as something tasty, the skin is perceiving it as something cool or hot depending on whether it is cooled or boiled, and so on. So, and when you try to make it cool, the ears also hear the sound of milk, or while it is boiling also you can hear the sound of milk boiling. So each sense is perceiving a particular aspect of it, variety, but actually it is one. Therefore, sensory knowledge is divided into different categories, although actually everything is one as a manifestation of the energy of the Supreme Lord. Similarly, the energies of fire are heat and illumination, and by these two energies, fire can display itself in many varieties or in diversified sense perception. Mayavadi philosophers declare this diversity to be false. because it is perceived by material senses, and material senses are given by the illusory energy of the Lord, therefore this material world is illusory. That is their proposal. But Vaishnava philosophers do not accept the different manifestations as false. They accept them as non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they are display of His diverse. They are a display of His diverse energies. The philosophy that the absolute is true and this creation is false, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, is not accepted by Vaishnava philosophers. The example is given that although all that glitters is not gold, this does not mean that a glittering object itself is false. That is not right. So when I see a oyster shell from a distance, it might look like a silver coin to me. So, but when I go closer, I realize that it's not a silver coin. So it is improper to conclude that therefore there is neither a silver coin nor an oyster shell. That's an improper conclusion. For example, an oyster shell appears to be golden. This appearance of golden hue is due only to the perception of the eyes. But that does not mean that the oyster shell is false. Similarly, by seeing the form of Lord Krishna, one cannot understand what He actually is. But this does not mean that He is false. As Yamunacharya in one of his compositions, Stotra Ratna, he mentions in one of those shlokas that, my dear Lord, now that I have had the fortune of having your Sakshat Darshan, I feel very embarrassed and sad that with what all things of this world I have compared you. I have compared your color to a monsoon, dark monsoon cloud. I have compared your eyes to a lotus. But I feel so embarrassed when I look at the dark monsoon cloud and the lotus of this world, and now that I see you, you know, I feel so embarrassed that I have compared you with all these things of this world. So, does Krishna look like this monsoon cloud and this lotus? No. It's just so that, because these are the probably just for our understanding. But otherwise, Krishna's color of monsoon cloud is not the monsoon cloud of this world. It's not the lotus of this world. Maybe if you put all these descriptions put together and actually make a personality out of it, he may not actually look that beautiful also, even to our eyes. So someone having the eyes exactly the shape of a lotus petal, you design someone, you know, exactly like that. I don't know, neither to someone in Africa nor to someone in India, it might really seem that beautiful to materialize. Because the Lord's form is not... So therefore Yamunacharya says that, you know, I feel so embarrassed that what all I have compared you with. Now that I see your form, you know, I am feeling this embarrassment. So he expresses his embarrassment to the Supreme Lord and begs for forgiveness. So he says, this appearance of golden hue is... Okay, just hold on. The form of Krishna has to be understood as it is described in the books of knowledge such as Brahma Samhita. By our imperfect sense perception, we cannot understand the form of the Lord. We have to acquire knowledge about Him. Therefore, it is said here, Jnanam Ekam. Later Prabhupada says, material sense speculation leads to the conclusion that the Supreme is formless. It is because of such mental speculation that the conditioned soul remains in ignorance under the spell of illusory energy. So Supreme Person has to be understood by the transcendental sound vibrated by Him in Bhagavad Gita, wherein He says that there is nothing superior to Himself. Where does He say that? Matta parataram nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya. The impersonal Brahman effulgence is resting on His personality. Where does he say that? Brahmano hi pratishtaham. The purified absolute vision of Bhagavad Gita is compared to river Ganga. Ganges water is so pure that it can purify even the asses and cows. But anyone who, disregarding the pure Ganga, wishes to be purified instead by the filthy water flowing in a drain cannot be successful. Like that. Okay. So therefore, Prabhupada also in his purport very nicely establishes the proposal of the Mayavadis, and he also explains where do they make a mistake and gives the proper explanation also, like that. So we'll move on. Yata mahan aham rupas tivrit panchavidas varat ekadashavidas tasya vapur andam jagad yataha. So if you say that the conclusion of the Mayavadis that there is absolutely no variety is false, if you say that their proposal is false, then in what all variety does Brahman manifest in this material world? He says, yata mahan, from mahattattva, ahankara of the three gunas, the five elements and the five sense objects, the 11 senses, the totality of jivas, the individual jiva, the whole universe and the body of the jiva, the world of matter, everything appears and nothing is false. That's the Vaishnava understanding. So Kapiladev, in the previous verse, presented the understanding of the Vivartavadis. Now he is presenting the Vaishnava understanding that all of them exist and they are not false. The moment one receives the spiritual vision, then he doesn't see it as matter. He sees the spirit. Not that he ceases to see it at all. That is their understanding, because they don't have a understanding of spiritual vision. Like that. So therefore, there are like these three levels of vision. One is a materialistic person's vision, where he sees only matter and meant for his own enjoyment. Then there is a sadhaka, his vision. He sees everything. He tries to see Krishna in it, and whatever he manages to see as being related to Krishna, he engages it in Krishna's service. And whatever he sees that it may have some utility in Krishna's service, but I cannot utilize it because I'll get trapped. I have a weakness for it. So I cannot engage it in Krishna's service. So he distinguishes between matter and spirit. But at least he starts to see spirit. He starts to see spirit means he sees a potential in those objects which he can utilize in Krishna's service. He sees the spiritual potential in that object, like the mic. Just because we have seen some spiritual potential to this mic, that's why it is used by different devotees to speak and glorify Krishna. So there are certain objects in which we may see some spiritual potential, and a sadhaka utilizes it in Krishna's service. So at least he learns to see the spiritual potential in different objects. So it's a practice for him. The more he gets purified, the more objects he can see a potential, the spiritual potential in more and more objects. And when one reaches spiritual perfection, practically everything he sees, this not just the spiritual potential, he sees it as spirit only. Like Ramananda Rai, he could see the spiritual potential in the Devadasis also. But for a sadhaka, may not be. He may see spiritual potential in them, but he may not think that he can utilize that spiritual potential in serving the Supreme Lord. Okay. So there are these three visions: the materialistic person's vision, the sadhaka's vision, where he sees, he starts to see spiritual potential in things of this world. And to the extent that he can see, he utilizes them in Krishna's service. And then there is this vision of the Mahabhagavat devotee, where everything is spirit. So therefore for him, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. This world is not meant to be quit. This world is actually a good place to live, because there is, he sees spiritual potential everywhere. So that's the vision of a Mahabhagavat devotee, like that. We'll continue.
Etadvai Shraddaya Bhaktya Yoga Vyasena Nityashah Samahitatma Nissango Viraktya Paripashyati.
By faith, by bhakti, by practice of yoga and by detachment, with constantly controlled mind, giving up material association, a person sees this Brahman. So basically he says, he is now, as I told, this chapter is like a summary. So this one verse is almost like a summary of chapter 27, third canto 27, spoken by Kapiladev, where he spoke about the practice of the path of jnana. You know, how if you try to recollect, of course it has been a long time, but still, if some of you can try to recollect, we saw that the practice of jnana includes the elements of bhakti, includes the element of ashtanga yoga also, some elements, and it includes primarily the limbs of jnana, which is reflecting on the scriptures, Upanishads, and meditating on the meanings of the scriptures. Especially those scriptures which talk about the qualitative oneness between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. That's where they focus their meditation upon. And of course, apart from that, they worship the personal form of the Lord also. They perform some yamas and niyamas of the Ashtanga Yoga also, and so on. Those things were described in the 27th chapter. So he is summarizing all of that in this one verse, and he says that by faith, by bhakti, by practice of yoga and by detachment, with constantly controlled mind, giving up material association, a person sees this Brahman, or he realizes this Brahman and eventually attains impersonal liberation.
Okay, so let's continue. Ityetat katitam gurvi jnanam tad brahma darshanam yenanu buddhyate tattvam prakrite purushasya cha.
O Gurvi, O my dear mother, iti etat katitam jnanam, in this way I have explained this path of jnana to you.
Tad brahma darshanam, realization of Brahman, yena anubudyate prakritehe purushasya tattvam.
And I have described this jnana to you by which you can realize the Brahman and also understand the truth regarding prakriti and purusha. So thus I conclude this teaching on the path of jnana. In 3-4 verses he sort of summarizes what he has already spoken in chapters 26 and 27, like that. Then he says,
jnana yogascha madnishto nairgunyo bhakti lakshanah dvayorapyeka evarto bhagavat shabda lakshanah.
So he says, the goal of jnana, goal is artha, jnana yoga artha, the goal of jnana yoga, madnishtah, fixed on my expansion as Brahman, nairgunyah, that Brahman is beyond three modes, bhakti lakshana, and the goal of bhakti, eka eva artha, both are one only, the goal of jnana and the goal of bhakti are one. In the sense that Krishna says, Brahmanohi pratishtaham. So, so it is like, you know, once I have heard His Grace Radhika Vallabh Prabhu mentioning it from Jiva Goswami's teaching. So he was mentioning that, you know, there is the principle of cause and effect. Sometimes, we say that the cause is non-different from the effect. But the effect is not non-different from the cause. Because the effect does not completely have all the features of the cause. So it is like telling that, let's say, a teacher is there. He has, let's say, in the traditional Vedic system, the guru is there. He can teach the 64 arts. Okay, so let's say he has taught one particular art to one student, the other art to the other student. So perfectly, that they can perform it as good as the guru. So it is not wrong to say, oh, you see person A performing it so well, and it is not wrong to say that, oh, the guru, the guru can also perform as well. So the guru is non-different from the student. So, but is it right to say that the student is non-different from the guru? No, only in one aspect of only one of those 64 arts, the student can perform as good as the guru. So in that respect, the guru is non-different from the student. But you cannot say that the student in all respects is non-different from the guru, because the student can perform only one of those aspects as good as the guru. So in that sense, the cause is non-different from the effect, but the effect is not non-different from the cause. So the same way, Bhagavan is non-different from Brahman, but you can't say that the Brahman is non-different from Bhagavan in all respects, because it's just a partial understanding of the Supreme Lord, like that, in that sense. So okay, so here, yeah, so we are seeing the translation of this verse. The goal of jnana and the goal of bhakti are actually one goal. Bhagavat Shabda Lakshana, which is known by the word Bhagavan. He doesn't say Brahma Shabda Lakshana. He says Bhagavan. So if you have understood Bhagavan, then you have understood the Brahman feature and the Paramatma feature in the right perspective. So like that. So let's move ahead. Yatendriyai pratagdvarair artho bahugunashrayah eko nane yate tadvat bhagavan shastra vartmabihi. Yata eko artha bahugunashrayah. Just as one object, the substrate of many qualities, is perceived by various senses in various ways, tadvat, the same way, Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, shastra vartmabihi, he is also perceived variously by the various scriptural practices. So he gives an example to explain this point. I'll just summarize and we'll move ahead. We are already getting close to break time. So he says that when you take milk, we saw the same example. When you take milk, the eye perceives it as a white liquid. Okay. But a phenyl also looks white. So if someone's nose is blocked, looking at a glass of phenyl and milk, in one sense he can't actually say whether it is phenyl or milk, because it looks exactly the same. So just as one object, milk, is perceived by different senses in different ways, not in different ways, a different aspect of that particular sense object is perceived by different senses. But it is the mind which actually synthesizes all the sense signals and presents a very coherent understanding of that particular sense object. So the role of nose is to perceive the smell of that sense object. It smells the milk and sends the signal to the mind, or you can say the antakarana. When we say mind, it's not exactly, in some sense, in some cases it's just mind functionally, so in some cases it refers to the whole set of antakarana. The antakaranas are the central processing unit. They get all the signals, process it, and gives the result. So the nose sends its signal to the mind, the eye sends its signal to the mind, the tactile sense, the sense of touch, sends its signal to the mind, and the mind synthesizes all that, or the antakarana synthesizes all that and says, oh, this is milk. And it all happens in a fraction of a second. And that's how fast the CPU created by Krishna is. So it all happens quite fast. So here he says that the same way, you know, there are various paths to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but each of these paths is compared to a particular sense which can get one, which can understand one aspect of the Supreme Lord. The Karma Yogis perceive the Supreme Lord as Yajna Book. The Jnana Yogis perceive him as Tapo Book. The Yogis perceive him as Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Whereas the devotee sees him as, oh, that very same Lord who is Yajna Book, Tapo Book, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, is not just that, but he is Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. He is also very favorably disposed, very benevolently disposed towards all living entity. So therefore he says, oh, it is not just sufficient to appreciate him as the giver of, as the bestower of the results of yajna. It is not just sufficient for us to appreciate him as the acceptor of our tapasya. It is not just sufficient for him to appreciate him as the controller of this world, but all of that is meant to inspire us to establish a relationship with this personality. That is the complete understanding. So, all these other different paths are compared to the various senses, and bhakti is compared to the mind, which are the antakarana, which synthesizes all that and gives a wholesome understanding about that particular object, which is the Supreme Lord in this case. So that's what this particular verse is given to emphasize, this point that you know, all these various other paths are, you know, they give a partial understanding of the Supreme Lord, and the perfect understanding of the Supreme Lord or the absolute truth is understood by the practitioners of devotional service. Like that. So he says, further he says, Kriyaya kratu birdhanais tapasvadhyaya marshanaihi atmendriyat jayena api sanyasena chakarmanam yogena vividangena bhakti yogena chaivahi dharmeno bayachinnena yapravritti nivrittiman Atma-tattva-vabodena vairagyena dridena cha iyate bhagavan ebi saguno nirguna svadruk. So he says, then he quotes the various kinds of practices by which different aspects of the Supreme Lord can be understood and appreciated. So like that. So we'll just move ahead. These are the various processes. So then in the next section, he talks about who can receive this knowledge. So now the teachings are over. He has summarized also everything. So now Kapildev is saying, telling that, I want you to preach this knowledge. So now I'll tell you who is qualified to receive this knowledge, who is not qualified to receive this knowledge. So he says, Pravocham bhakti yogasya swarupam te chaturvidam kalasya chavyaktagater yontar dhavati jantushu. ప్రావోచం తే మై డియర్ మదర్ దేవహూతి ఐ హ్యావ్ స్పోకన్ టు యూ భక్తి యోగస్య చతుర్విధం ఫోర్ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి యోగ ఐ హ్యావ్ స్పోకన్ టు యూ సత్వ సాత్విక భక్తి రాజస భక్తి తామస భక్తి అండ్ నిర్గుణ భక్తి ఫోర్ కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి కాలస్య స్వరూపం ఐ హ్యావ్ ఆల్సో యాజ్ రిక్వెస్టెడ్ బై యూ ఐ హ్యావ్ ఆల్సో స్పోకన్ అబౌట్ ద నేచర్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్ అండ్ అవ్యక్త గతే వాట్ ఇస్ ద నేచర్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్ ఇట్స్ గతి ఇస్ అవ్యక్త వైల్ యు ఆర్ లుకింగ్ అట్ ఇట్ ఇట్ హాస్ ఆల్రెడీ పాస్డ్ యహ అంతర్ధావతి జంతుషు అండ్ విచ్ పర్స్యూస్ ఆల్ లివింగ్ బీయింగ్స్ యునో రిలెంట్లెస్ చేస్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్ ఇట్ పర్స్యూస్ ఆల్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ ఐ హావ్ స్పోకన్ టు యూ అబౌట్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ జీవస్య సంస్కృతిర్ బహ్వీర్ అవిద్యా కర్మ నిర్మితాః యాస్వంగ ప్రవిశన్ ఆత్మా నవేద గతిమాత్మనః ఓ మదర్ జీవస్య సంస్కృతిర్ బహ్వీ దెర్ ఆర్ మెనీ ఆర్ న్యూమరస్ ట్రాన్స్మైగ్రేషన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద జీవ అబౌట్ విచ్ ఆల్సో ఐ హ్యావ్ స్పోకన్ టు యూ అవిద్యా కర్మ నిర్మిత విచ్ ఇస్ ఇన్స్పైర్డ్ బై యాక్టివిటీస్ పర్ఫార్మ్డ్ ఇన్ ఇగ్నోరెన్స్ భవేస్మిన్ క్లిశ్యమానానాం అవిద్యాకామకర్మభి శ్రవణస్మరణ అర్హాణీ కరిష్యే ఇతి కేచన మదర్ కుంతి సేస్ సో ఇట్ ఇస్ అవిద్యా విచ్ డ్రైవ్స్ ఇంప్రాపర్ డిజైర్స్ అండ్ ఇట్ ఇస్ ఇంప్రాపర్ డిజైర్స్ విచ్ ఇన్స్పైర్స్ ఇంప్రాపర్ యాక్షన్స్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ విచ్ వన్ గెట్స్ ఎంటాంగిల్డ్ ఇన్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్ యాసు ప్రవిషన్ ఆత్మా న వేద ఆత్మనాగతిం అండ్ బై పర్ఫార్మింగ్ సచ్ యాక్షన్స్ ఇన్ ఇగ్నోరెన్స్ ద లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీ డస్ నాట్ అండర్స్టాండ్ ఇస్ ఓన్ డెస్టినేషన్ సో బేసికలీ ఈ సమ్మరైజింగ్ ఈస్ టెలింగ్ ఐ స్పోక్ అబౌట్ ద ఫోర్ కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి ఐ స్పోక్ అబౌట్ ద నేచర్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్ అండ్ యూ ఆస్క్ మీ అబౌట్ ద నేచర్ ఆఫ్ సంసార ఐ హవ్ స్పోకన్ అబౌట్ దట్ టు దెన్ హీ సేస్ నైతత్ కలయోపదిశేన్ నా వినీతాయ కర్హిచిత్ నస్తబ్దాయ భిన్నాయ నైవ ధర్మధ్వజాయ చ సో ప్రాక్టికలీ కపిలదేవ్ సేస్ యూ కాంట్ ప్రీచ్ టు ఎనీవన్ బికాస్ మోస్ట్ ఆల్మోస్ట్ ఎవ్రీవన్ ఫాల్స్ ఇన్ అట్లీస్ట్ వన్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ కేటగిరీస్ సో హి సేస్ న ఏతద్ ఉపదిశేత్ నెవర్ గివ్ దిస్ టీచింగ్ ఖలాయ టు దోస్ విత్ ఈవిల్ మోటివ్స్ ఓకే అవినీతాయ to those who do not behave as students, which means to those who cannot accept your superiority, for those who do not think that they can receive something from you, you should not speak it. Stabdaya, to those who are proud, you cannot speak it. Bhinnaya, to those with different ideas, also you cannot speak it. ధర్మధ్వజాయ అండ్ టు దోస్ హూ మేక్ అ షో ఆఫ్ రిలీజియన్ ఫర్ ప్రాఫిట్ అండ్ పొజిషన్ యూ కెనాట్ స్పీక్ సో హూ ఈస్ లెఫ్ట్ సో ప్రాక్టికలీ యూ కాంట్ స్పీక్ టు ఎనీ వన్ దిస్ నాలెడ్జ్ దట్స్ వాట్ యాజ్ అపారెంట్లీ ఇండికేటెడ్ బై కపిలదేవ్ హియర్ ఇట్ సీమ్స్ లైక్ యు నో యూ షుడ్ నాట్ బి ప్రీచింగ్ సో లెట్స్ సీ వాట్ ది ఆచార్యస్ ఆర్ ట్రైంగ్ టు ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ హియర్ So, there is no purport here, but it will be, because it's continuing. That's not all in all. He says, Na lolupayo padishen, na griharoda chetase, na bhaktaya chame jato, na mat bhaktadvishamapi. Now upadishet, one should also not instruct this knowledge. Lolupaya, to those who are extremely attached to material enjoyment, గృహారూఢ చేతసే టు దోస్ అటాచ్ టు ఫ్యామిలీ అఫేర్స్ అభక్తాయ టు దోస్ వితౌట్ డివోషన్ న జాతు యూ మే సమ్టైమ్స్ ప్రీచ్ టు దీస్ పీపుల్ ఇట్స్ నాట్ రాంగ్ బట్ నెవర్ యూ షుడ్ ప్రీచ్ టు దట్ పర్సన్ హూ హేట్స్ ద డివోటీస్ ఓకే సో నౌ మై క్వశ్చన్ ఇస్ హౌ మెనీ ఆఫ్ యూ థింక్ దట్ బిఫోర్ టేకింగ్ అప్ టు డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్
you fell in at least one of these categories. More than one, most of the time, you know. So some devotees are telling that still we fall in one of those categories. So the point is, Kapila Dev is clarifying, don't instruct this knowledge, what I have spoken to you, to them directly. So what it means is, make them favorable to hear this knowledge and then speak. So in one of the purports, similar to this, Sri Vishnachakya Thakur mentions that, this verse, na buddhi bedam janayed agyanam karma sanginam joshayed sarvakarmani vidvan yuktah samacharan. Third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says that, na buddhi bedam janayed, one should not unnecessarily disturb the mindset of those people who are very much interested in enjoying this material world. So a person who is qualified for jnana, he should not go and tell, what are you performing all this material activities for? At the most, to go to Swarga. It's such a hopeless goal. You should try to attain liberation. So that person, if this person who is instructing him seems to be quite powerful and persuasive, he may immaturely give up all his prescribed duties and think that he should be trying to aspire for liberation. But in doing that, he will end up giving up his prescribed duties also, which have a capability of purifying his heart. And at the same time, because he lacks that purity, he cannot pursue the path of jnana also. So therefore, he is left without any means of progressing in this life. So Krishna says, no, don't unnecessarily confuse him. Rather, engage him in his prescribed duties according to his inclinations and slowly try to elevate him. So in that purport, I am not able to exactly recollect. But in this context, Śrīla Viṣṇācārya Thakura says that the same is true with devotees also. They should also not try to unnecessarily confuse them. He says, they should not be given bhakti prematurely. But he clarifies, he says, but they can be given shraddha to make them favorable towards bhakti. And once they get that shraddha, they should definitely give this knowledge. That's what he clarifies. So, preaching is not just to deliver the knowledge. Preaching is to make them favorable to receive that knowledge. And if we give that knowledge before making them favorable, then we will be committing the ninth offense, to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. So glories of the holy name means glories of the holy name, glories of the holy form, glories of the holy dham, glories of the holy pastimes, everything. It should not be given prematurely before making them favorable to receive that knowledge. So therefore, it is clarified here that you cannot give the knowledge, but you can give the shraddha to receive that knowledge. Which means you make the groundwork, lay the foundation by making them favorable to accept this subject matter. We'll just read this purport and then we will end here. And then we'll convene back after prasadam. So here, Śrīla Viṣṇācārya Thakura says, out of error or inattention, one may instruct any of the above mentioned persons except those who hate the devotees. So he says that if you by chance, by mistake, instruct a person who falls in any of these categories, that is still okay. It will not, just that it will not bear any result. But make sure that you never instruct a person who hates the devotees. He should never be instructed at all like that. So, Prabhupada writes here in the purport, persons who are always planning to do harm to other living entities are not eligible to understand Krishna consciousness and cannot enter into the realm of transcendental loving service to the Lord. Also, there are so-called disciples who becomes submissive to a spiritual master most artificially with an ulterior motive. They also cannot understand what Krishna consciousness or devotional service is. Persons who, due to being initiated by another sect of religious faith, do not find devotional service as the common platform for approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they also cannot understand Krishna consciousness. If you have observed, Prabhupada was many times either in London or sometimes in the United States. Prabhupada was arranged to meet with many religious heads of the Christian faith, like that. Whenever Prabhupada spoke, Prabhupada would never speak directly about Krishna consciousness at all. He would just speak about how you are encouraging your people to become good Christians. That would always be the subject matter of discussion. He would bring it there. He would never ever get into the case of, you know, Krishna consciousness is better. You should consider practicing Krishna consciousness. You should preach Krishna consciousness. He would never say. For this very same purpose, persons who, due to being initiated by another sect of religious faith, do not find devotional service as the common platform for approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they also cannot understand Krishna consciousness. We have experienced that some students come to join us, but because of being biased in some particular type of faith, they leave our camp and become lost in the wilderness. Actually, Krishna consciousness is not a sectarian religious faith. It is a teaching process for understanding the Supreme Lord and our relationship with Him. Anyone who can join this movement without prejudice. But unfortunately, there are persons who feel differently. So therefore, not everyone will join unless we do the groundwork on those people. We can't expect anyone to immediately and directly accept our teachings. That is not possible, and that will never happen. It is better, therefore, not to instruct the science of Krishna consciousness to such persons. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.